Hello, welcome to episode 12 of the Ops Team, the weekly IT Pro news show where we each focus on a particular area, on-premises data center infrastructure, enterprise mobility, devices, and now IoT as well.
Yep.
Pick that up. DevOps and open source stuff and some cloud stuff when it bothers to turn up. So yeah, hopefully you've been keeping up with the show so far. Episode 12, we're all enjoying it still. Hopefully you are. This week, for our spinner, what have we got there?
Well, we have a wonderful piece of swag, actually. It's a...
all swag is wonderful.
I know. Sweatshirts, wearables.
I might have to bleep that.
Yeah, that might need a little bit of a bleep. No swearing here. This is a nice Windows 10 water bottle that was given to me by a very kind person. Inside of the company. I'm going to give this a little spin.
And somebody wants you to drink some pins that are inside
yes.
there.
I'm not quite sure whether there was a hidden meaning to giving me this, but...
nice.
But yeah, that's what I ended up with. I'm going to give this a quick spin,
yep.
And we'll see who it lands on.
Okay.
You can go first.
Ooh, so here we go. Oh, yeah, it's you, man. Are you all set?
Camera on me.
Yeah, well, on us. It's not just all about you.
Yeah, no,
you know, I'm here as well. I'm ready to listen. So you got all your 5 minutes of
great
content. You're not going to steal anything from anybody else.
I hope not.
Yeah,
I'm just going to steal from Rick. He's not here, so
exactly.
I
well,
him.
He is here.
He is here.
He is
yeah.
here in spirit. We'll come back to Rick in quotes shortly. So your 5 minutes on DevOps and open source stuff starts
now. Okay, I'm going to start with Application Insights. For those who haven't experienced Application Insights yet, it's a monitoring tool that you embed into your applications and it feeds data to Azure.
Nice.
To the cloud, so you don't have to have any servers in your company on premises. It just feeds data to the cloud. And we have this cool thing called Application Insights Proactive Detection.
Catchy name.
Yeah, very catchy name. It's AIPD, I don't know.
No, it's the police department.
Yeah. So what it does is basically it just uses machine learning, another cool thing in the background. So you don't have to enable anything, you don't have to set anything. It just looks at your application insights data, and if it sees anything unusual, it just alerts you. It says, hey, you have this application running in 5 regions, it's okay, but in that region the ping times are really high. So
right.
There should be something. Take a look at it.
Okay. So it's primarily web applications.
Yeah, for web applications.
Right.
And it's good because if it normally it shows you the average of all the regions, so you may not see that there's a problem in one single particular region. It just gives you, hey, there's something in. And it also does cool things like if there's a particular browser version that your application is taking time to load, again, it tells you, hey, there's something wrong with version something or pros or something.
So that's pretty cool, because I mean I would suppose you have to be really a developer to benefit from that. You could just have
a
blog or anything. You just plug in the details of your app or your site and it would give you some.
What you need to do this to enable this is just add your application key, instrumentation key,
right,
inside the application, and it takes care of the rest.
So does the app have to be on Azure to benefit?
Not at all.
Okay.
As long as it has access to Azure,
right,
to the Application Insights service, you're good to go.
So it needs to. Could it be an? It couldn't be an internal app then. There's no way to get the information.
Unless you want to have access to the external world.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you could use something like System Center, I suppose.
For
apps, I guess.
Yeah.
Nice. That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. The second one is again. It's about Application Insights, and this is called the Release Annotations, formerly known as Deployment Markers.
Nice.
And again, this is part of the Application Insight package. What it does is, let's say you have any version of your product or your application, or maybe just you added something new to a feature. So it just checks if that new build, this new addition, is impacting your application,
right,
whether it's good or bad. So if there's a problem with the new addition, it just shows, hey, after you've built this new application, here's... I have some changes. For example, the response time is going higher. So you may want to take a look at what you've done in your code.
So it's almost like an audit trail for your app.
Yeah.
You know, this is when this change happened.
Yeah.
It's obviously messed it up.
Yeah.
Now you might want to go back.
Yeah. So to enable this, you need to go to the Visual Studio Marketplace and add this to your Visual Studio Team Services subscription. And after that, it's just like, I want to enable this in my build. It's really quick and easy way to...
Nice.
I like this because as an IT pro, I don't want to, you know, spend a lot of time. I want to monitor this. These are the rules, blah, blah, blah. It's just automatic.
And there's no need to make any particular code changes to make it work.
No, not really.
Visual Studio just does it for you.
Yeah. I mean, the default options is more than enough. But if you want to go very deep dive, very specifics, here are my rules, you know, very fine tuning, it's you can still do this.
Nice.
Pretty awesome.
Application insights, yeah.
It's all about app insights.
Yeah. Application insights. APM.
It's the future. Sorry, APM. Yeah, it's
the future. Is the new Microsoft buzzword.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Project Nami. I heard this from a lot of customers. They're like, we are using WordPress and we want to use Azure SQL backing up WordPress.
I'm one of these people.
Yeah.
I'm currently using MySQL as my backup as my data storage for WordPress. I'd rather use our SQL.
Our SQL, not MySQL.
Our SQL. Yeah. Not MySQL, it's our SQL.
Whose SQL is it? Yeah. Everyone's SQL.
Yeah, the common scenario was, of course, using MySQL with WordPress. Mm. We also have this offering in Azure, like it's using ClearDB in the backhand. Mm. But if you want to
use... You're getting too excited, calm down.
Excited. If you want to use Azure SQL in the back, you can now do it. It's using version 12 of Azure SQL database, and you can run WordPress backed up by Azure SQL. It's nice because if you have tools backing up your Azure SQL already in Azure, go for it. Nice. You don't have to have
kind of migration guide as to how to...
That's what I was going to ask.
Not that I know of.
Perfect timing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good question because my blog at the moment runs on a D-Series VM, just a small one, Linux, with MySQL installed in there. It is mine, I suppose, but it's also MySQL. The database for WordPress is running on there as well. So it's all self-contained. And I back up the WordPress site and database with a plugin for WordPress. So it kind of backs itself up and off to, it's OneDrive or another cloud. So I didn't know if it supported OneDrive at the time. So it backs up to somewhere else separate, which is good. But I was looking at this when, because Rick tweeted about it as well, and it looked interesting. I'm not sure how the cost would weigh up comparing running WordPress as a website with Azure SQL versus just doing this VM, but the migration one would be a key thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to steal 20 more seconds.
What are you going to say? 20 more minutes then?
Oh, yeah, going to say. Deploying this is just an Azure Resource Manager. So deploy to Azure, that's it.
It's just that easy.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
But yeah, migration guide. Somebody could write a blog post on migrating from WordPress to...
Talking to you, Mr. Plate Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, plate face over there. Right. So that's a good set of information there for devs and IT pros alike. Yeah.
Okay, let's
shake the bottle of pins.
The bottle of... Did you say PIMS?
It's not PIMS o'clock.
Oh, pins. That's a shame.
Pins.
It is early in the morning, but I could always drink some...
Oh, okay, okay. Let me start with.
This might be rigged. Let's try this again.
Always gonna. Oh no! There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's me this time. Yep. Yeah. Right. I didn't give you a round of applause for yours. Well done. Thank you. There you go. That's enough of that. Right. So my 5 minutes on on-premises stuff. We lined up on the cameras. Yep. So here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2. There we go. So on-premises stuff, data center stuff. You don't need to cut to my screen yet, but I'll give you the hint. The key thing that is about to be made available, and I'll give you more context in this when we record on a Thursday. There's something happening tomorrow where vaporware comes to life. It's the Azure Stack technical preview number one is finally with us. We've talked up Azure Stack from back in Ignite in May in Chicago as the first real offering, true hybrid cloud offering from Microsoft that really allows you to take Azure code, technology, and many of the services that run in public cloud Azure and bring it on premises and run it in your data center for the very first time. Now, Azure Pack has been around for a while, but it wasn't consistent totally with Azure. It didn't offer exactly the same services and so on, and it sat on top of Windows Server and System Center. Now, Azure Stack is a complete new product line offering that gives you true Azure coming to your data center. And we've talked about it since May, but we haven't really gone into detail really beyond a couple of keynote sessions and a couple of breakout sessions at various conferences. A couple of weeks ago on an episode of the Ops Team, we talked about the hardware requirements for this first technical preview, proof of concept size and scale, single server. So I've got a server ready in our lab ready to host this, which is I'm looking forward to. But we also wrote a blog post that I'll make available in the notes that actually talks a bit more about what Azure Stack is all about, consistency with Azure, what the first POC is all about, really helping devs to write applications against Azure and Azure Stack. That's the key thing, is being able to build an app and then run it anywhere across those hybrid environments. For IT pros, you'll get used to using it, be used to providing an environment for your developers and application owners, which is important. It's a different mentality from just being the virtualization guy, the storage guy, the network. You're really delivering services to your consumers within your environment. Service providers are already used to this, but enterprises maybe less so. So you'll be able to download it on the 29th of January. Now, obviously, you'll be watching this in the future because the episode will come out after that. So go and download it. What are you waiting for? And refer back to a couple of episodes to get the hardware requirements, because they're fairly sizable for a single host. But when you think about everything that's running, it's understandable. So great blog post providing more context there. That's the big news this week for me. But there are a couple of other things. Firstly, there's a great blog post, and it relates to something that you're passionate about as well, Linux. And specifically, a blog post by on the Hybrid Cloud IT Management blog, so following on from my hybrid discussion a few minutes ago, on the Operations Management Suite, which we love on the show because there's always new features to talk about. But they've gone into detail about how you onboard and start to extract logs from your Linux servers, no matter whether running on-prem, in the cloud, whatever it may be. So CentOS, Oracle Linux, Debian, there's even Amazon Linux. I didn't know they had their own flavor. This is news to me as well. I have read this article, obviously. So you can onboard these Linux servers to OMS, which is great because it allows you to centralize your log data from all of those different sources. And from there, OMS will do all the crunching, all of the big data analysis of those logs, and provide you with tangible, useful insights. We said insights before, mm-hmm. as a keyword, into all of that massive amounts of random information that streams out of your systems. So really cool stuff, definitely worthwhile if you are running any Linux, and the blog post will go into all of that detail as well. And the final thing in my remaining 1 minute, I forgot to minimize the timer, but I know that I've got about a minute left now, and I've minimized it, is something new in PowerShell. Now, everybody loves PowerShell. It's really powerful. If you're an IT pro who's not using PowerShell, you might want to start trying it out and getting used to it. One of the things that I found really useful when I was learning more about using PowerShell was using the ISE. And the ISE isn't just that command window that you're used to when you fire up PowerShell. It's much more of a, I don't want to say graphical, but it gives you a script editor. It gives you a lot more help when you're learning PowerShell to write PowerShell scripts. But there's a new version, a new preview release for the PowerShell ISE that's just been made available, and the details are all on the PowerShell blog. So it talks you through how to install it, some of the limitations, but it's just enabling you to develop PowerShell more efficiently for your environment. And this PowerShell ISE will iterate new versions as we go forward. So definitely check that out if you're utilizing PowerShell for your environments, which I assume many of you are. And that is pretty much me. I don't know how much time I've got left, but they're my three things this week.
Okay, you're obviously not watching your own timer.
I was, and then I'm not, and then I've got 1 second. There's the cow.
I just thought of something that we should do.
Uh-oh.
When you mentioned something during that, you guys out there need to tell us if this is something that you want us to do. But I'm thinking, do you remember those ghost chili ginger shots that Rick brought?
Oh dear. I was trying to forget them.
Yeah. The ghost peppers.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe what we should do is try and arrange to have a bottle of that in the studio. And then for each episode, we actually have a particular buzzword, such as insights.
That's going to be hard for me.
And then every time, everybody other than the person who's speaking mentions insights, we all have to take a ghost chili ginger
shot. We could just have a big bingo wall.
Yeah.
Like, thing.
I'm thinking lime. Like Microsoft buzzword bingo being the...
We can use this one with the pins.
Yeah, and whoever gets it, that could get dangerous.
Yeah, so if there's any graphics artists who want to build us a bingo board for overused buzzwords like cloud and hybrid and all of those things IoT that I mentioned, then we can use that. Yeah, and we can see what we can win. We do have to give some shout outs to people on Twitter, or a person on Twitter actually, but we'll get to that later on.
We'll get
on.
To that very, very soon. Yeah. I'm going to spin the bottle one final time. And again.
It's Rick, who unfortunately could not be in the studio this morning. All we got on email is he's got something else on this morning. What could be more important than the ops team?
Wow.
Who knows? Maybe there's nothing going on in Azure. But either way, we'll give him his 5 minutes. Now, normally we represent Rick with an egg, and then it evolved. into a chicken breast, lightly spiced with jerk seasoning. And now it's just what we could find in the kitchen, which was a plate attached to a push vacuum cleaner thing. So we've gone all out on the budget this time around. But
do it yourself.
Yeah, just keep pipe down over there, Rick. You're too noisy.
Yeah.
I forgot to draw the hat as well.
The only thing that is actually true is that because you may not realise this, but Rick doesn't really like going outside, particularly in the sun. It actually does have the same complexion as Rick.
He's going to love that.
Yes.
Right, so Rick, you've got your 5 minutes on Azure stuff. So let me start your timer and take it away.
Okay, from the Azure desk, a couple of articles that came up in the last little while. First one is going to be from CTO Mark Rusinovich for Azure. He wrote a nice article on the 27th talking about the year ahead as far as infrastructure to innovation is concerned. Great article that he wrote up about some trends to look at that were starting to gain traction in 2015, should come to fruition in 2016, and definitely something to keep on your horizon, on your radar. Let me give you the quick recap, if I can, in six different topics. The very first one is platform as a service. It's the way to go. Less overhead to have to worry about the operating system and drivers and patches and things like that if you design for a platform as a service. You can't just take your existing apps and drop them over there. They do require some redesign and rework, but ultimately, in the long run, that's the way you're going to go off and save time, effort, and money is going to a PaaS environment. So that's something that's going to continue and maybe even surpass where IaaS is in the future. Number two, advanced data analytics and services are going to grow exponentially, mainly because companies are determining that data is like the new oil for them. They literally is a Wild West kind of environment that people are now offering data analysis services. Azure has some great machine learning capabilities you can go off and use to be able to analyze that data with Data Lake and other types of services at great scale, at very interested in easy to accommodate costs and size and scale based on what you can you need to accommodate. So it's going to be picking up because it's going to be available to more and more people on a regular basis. Hybrid cloud is a tip of the hat, number three, to consistency, mainly due to the release of something that we just did for our first technical preview of Azure Stack. I'm assuming that Matt had that one covered earlier on in his section. So Azure Stack is available in technical preview. The same deployment methods, same API models, that sort of stuff, from being inside the cloud environment to being inside of an Azure Stack environment. So great portability between your stuff. Tuesdays with Corey actually is going to have a really good session there talking with Azure Stack and Jeffrey Snover and Corey Sanders. Rather interesting stuff that's on there. Number four, in more agile development model. So not just PaaS environment, not just these ginormous big applications that are potentially difficult to scale, but also these things that are called microservices. Kind of picks up where containers kind of left off to compartmentalize stuff. Microservices are basically coming into a new approach for your design and application infrastructure for defining different roles, different workers, being able to do different bite-sized chunks of things inside of your environment. Number five, the security becoming a cloud enabler as opposed to a blocker. And that comes down to simply a matter of people gaining more and more trust with the cloud, ability to go off and to use very high-end services to encrypt and protect your data, such as Key Vault, as an example, to be able to have an HSA in the cloud. And also just the fact that a lot of different industries are going through and coming up with new standards and capabilities to be able to protect and safeguard your data and privacy inside of public cloud environments that are there. And finally, six, multi-cloud environments is definitely a thing to be paying attention to in the future. As people start to use and enable more cloud providers and more cloud services, they're going to potentially look at trying to span services across those different providers to make their data very mobile, make their applications very mobile, and also even more resilient to change. So multiple cloud environments is something to take a look at in the not-too-distant future as well. Awesome article. Go off and take a look at it. It's a very good read. Mark's an awesome writer. two different things that came up very quickly just recently on the U.S. government cloud for Azure. The first thing is the support for backup is now available inside of the government cloud for Azure. The second thing is the ability to use Azure Site Recovery. Both those two teams are kind of tightly coupled together, and so it made sense that both of their applications are now certified and are able to run in the government cloud. Articles are there talking about the new release for them and how you can use them. If you're a government cloud customer, you have to be a government agency that uses public cloud services. You should be able to now be able to use some of those services inside of your subscription. And for me, wrapping up this last little one is going to be our good friend Joe Levy, who went on February 1st and announced the fact that you can now use PowerShell V5 support inside of Azure Automation. I'm a big fan of Azure Automation, the ability to go through and programmatically manipulate, work with, and do things to your on-premises environments, to your cloud-based environments, to your Azure-based environments, to be able to configure machines, to be able to initiate DSC configurations to make sure things are not drifting, that sort of stuff, and standardized deploys, but then also being able to go off and manipulate and work with your individual applications and your services within your Azure subscription, turn things on, turn things off, be able to scale things up, scale things down in the PowerShell way. So Azure PowerShell or PowerShell V5 is now supported inside of Azure Automation. You know, if I was smart, I actually would have started a timer down below here so I could see if I was close to 5 minutes or not. But you know what?
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty insightful.
I think he talked about documentation.
I think you might be right. Did he talk about the insights of that document, though?
I don't know.
But he likes the shots already.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. That's true. Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he talked about it. We tend to predict what the person who's not here is talking about. So, the only person that's left is yourself.
Yeah, that's me. I have a couple of
Hang
things.
Hang on. I've not started your timer. Calm down. You're still trying to get away with it.
Just trying to sneak some extra stuff in there.
You did it the other week as well.
I know.
Here we go. And three, two, system. One.
So my things this week start off with some news from the RMS team, the Rights Management Services team, around some things that we've been doing inside of Azure RMS. The first one is that we announced a short time ago that we were acquiring a company called Secure Islands. Well, we've actually closed that acquisition, and those folks are now inside of the Cloud and Enterprise group with inside of Microsoft. And we've got some of those folks coming out to Redmond for our internal training event over the course of the next week or so. So pretty cool stuff. There's some amazing capabilities inside of Secure Islands around classification and labeling and protection of documents. This might not sound like the most exciting things in the world, but it actually is pretty cool when you think that this stuff has the capability to really prevent any customer data leakages, any kind of bits of, you know, those data leakages that you find on the internet where there's tons of like secret information being leaked. This technology has the capability, if it's implemented, to actually prevent all of that stuff from happening.
Nice.
Which is pretty neat stuff. There'll be more about Secure Islands coming out very soon as it starts to evolve into a more Microsofty product than the product that we're acquiring.
Nice.
That'll take a little bit of time for it to actually start kind of occurring and coming through, and we're hoping to get a preview out as quickly as possible. The team is working super hard to try and make that happen. But it wasn't the only thing. There's also a range of upcoming releases that are coming out with from the Azure RMS team. First one that folks should really be aware of is that we are going to start licensing enforcement around Azure RMS doc tracking. Now, if you're not familiar with Azure RMS doc tracking, what this allows you to do is any document that's been secured, protected with Azure RMS, you can see who's opening it, assuming that they're authenticating against Azure Active Directory. You're seeing who's failing to open it, assuming that they can't authenticate against Azure AD, and you can see where they're trying to do this from. You can literally see where in the world that person is that's trying to access your document.
Nice.
So it's pretty amazing stuff. It's always been something that's going to be actually offered as part of the Azure RMS Premium offering. Azure RMS Premium is also bundled inside of Enterprise Mobility Suite and Enterprise Cloud Suite, so there's lots of different ways of getting hold of it.
Keep up.
Yeah, there are lots of different ways.
And that's in that suite, and that one's in that suite, and then they are all in this suite.
The suites are kind of interesting because people get really confused about this, but they all just superset each other. So, the advantage of those suites supersetting each other means that you can decide that you want to go in for the like the biggest thing in the world, going buy ECS, which gives you everything. But then you could decide that you don't want all those components, so you could just downgrade to EMS or downgrade to Azure RMS Premium, and you can still get to keep the features you're using and ditch the other stuff.
Like the Russian dolls.
Yeah,
you've got
exactly.
One inside of another inside of.
Yeah, it's actually, when you start to understand it, it's pretty good licensing scheme, but loads of folks get very confused by it. We've also added in some native protection for things like TIFF files, which people use a lot when they're scanning documents. There's an amazing amount of...
Yeah, huge and massive in file size, though, normally, aren't they?
Yeah, they are pretty ginormous. Send me a TIFF. Yeah, bunch of that kind of stuff in there. Loads of new PowerShell as well, updated PowerShell commandlets.
We love PowerShell.
They allow you to take on some of the roles around super users for RMS, meaning that you can decrypt your users' documents. Yeah, we need to get some t-shirts made that,
super
that actually
user.
Have that. That's nice. Pretty sure Dan would enjoy some of those.
Yep.
We also need some... we've also got some other commandlet improvements and logging improvements going in there. Dan Plastina, who's the Azure RMS guy, at RMS guy on Twitter, who runs the Azure
Free
RMS
shout out there for product
team. Yeah, he's visited over 500 customers and spent an hour with them in the course of the past year. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But some of the key things that he's found out there tie up very well with some analyst research that's come out recently as well. Some great predictions. One of the ones that's very interesting is that Gartner now believe that RMS or document protection capabilities are coming out of the trough of disillusionment in the Gartner hype cycle, which is a pretty big thing. It means that, you know, organizations are going to start to, this is going to really start to mainstream inside of a lot of companies.
I find myself in that trough regularly.
I know. The trough of disillusionment is, for anybody that follows Gartner, is most likely a place where you end up on a regular basis. Other parts of the hype cycle are available.
Other analysts.
Yeah, there are other analyst groups out there as well. It's just that there's a lot of folks that look to Gartner. Also, the ConfigMan team, one of my favourite teams inside the company, just released the preview of the next release of ConfigMan. So ConfigMan is now on
You've started, so you can finish.
Thank you. More regular cadence. So this means that 1601, the update 1601, which, guess what? That means that the code was committed on the 16th of January.
Yeah, if you're from this part of the world.
Yeah. That actually, kind of cool. That's the that's going to have a load of on-prem capabilities that were previously available inside of Intune. Things like conditional access for managed PCs, being able to pull in provable PC health as part of that overall thing. There's a blog post on it, tons of information. I won't use up any more of my time.
Excellent. So that brings us to the end of our four sections with Rick's spliced in, obviously, at this point. Plate face over there. So he's not going to give us any update on Twitter, so it's down to you, sir. What's the deal on Twitter with the ops team this week?
The deal on Twitter with the ops team. Well, we have for you more followers. Yes, we do.
Whoop.
It's shot up by, I think it's about 10 followers this week.
We never actually know how many because we can never remember what it was the previous week.
The last one that I remember reading out was 175. We're now at 198.
I think it was 180 some last week. So it's maybe, it's going up by
pretty well with this.
5-10% each week.
Want to do a bit of a shout out, though, here to somebody.
Yeah, somebody did say...
Aaron Bateman, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Aaron, if you're out there, thanks for listening.
Which camera are we on? Are we on the outside one?
Thanks, Aaron. We love
you. Keep watching. Tell anybody. Tell anybody you know.
Tell your friends. Put it on Facebook, Twitter, wherever.
Even if they're not your friends, tell them.
Just get your own t-shirt made and wear it around. We'd love you to do that and share the picture back with us. If you do that, we will guarantee to get you on air.
Again.
He says we're a riot and loves watching the show.
Or maybe we start riots.
Yeah, it is a possibility.
That's what it is with our misinformation. Accurate information, sorry. Yeah, accurate
It is a thing. Also, Oren Thomas dropped us a little bit of a message to say that he likes Rick's tilly hat. Don't we all?
God, the hat gets a lot of attention.
Here right now. That's about it right now. But please do let us know exactly what you think of the show. Good, bad, indifferent, tell us if you don't care. It's always good. We can change things about the show, I guess, if people want to do that, although I kind of like the way that the show's evolving.
Can change it a little bit.
If you want to be able to get hold of us on the Twitters, we are the Ops Team on Twitter. And we do, as you can tell, monitor our tweets, which is quite nice
because there's so few.
Makes it pretty easy at the moment.
That's fine. Snowball effect.
Yeah.
So how can people get in touch? He's at Rickster CDN on Twitter.
He is.
What about yourself?
At SciMonster on Twitter.
At Matt McSpirit. Are we on the outside cam or are we on the inside cam?
No, I'm just changing it over.
At Matt McSpirit. You know which one we do.
And at All Spots Image.
Yeah, check the links for his.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we'll put all of those into the show notes.
As always, yes. And that brings us to the end of this show. So nothing more else. Nothing more left to say. We've covered our four areas. Like I say, get in touch at the Ops Team on Twitter or theopsteam@microsoft.com. We will read it. We will give you a shout out. But remember the keywords. I am not a bot. In the email, just so we know.
Yeah.
For sure, because our error checking is limited. And that brings us to the end. So thanks for watching again, and we'll see you on another episode of The Ops Team. Bye. Thanks.
Bye.